Denora Searcy joining us here on the John Murphy Show. Chris Brown here with you. And Denora, this is the third week of OTAs. Where is the secondary better now than maybe you guys were as a unit in week one?
I would say we're a lot better, meaning because last year we had to learn a lot of different terminologies, but this year the terms are pretty much the same. So we pretty much is using the same communications on the back end with each other, and we're not having to work with new guys. Only new guys we have to really have to work with is Corey and Ross, the rookie. That's about it.
So, you know, you look at it, and everybody says, you know, when the scheme changes defensively, it doesn't really affect the secondary all that much. Cover one is cover one, cover two is cover two, three deep is three deep. But maybe explain what changes, even if they're subtle, might take place when you undergo a scheme change.
The way a proper technique may be taught, it may be taught a different way in one scheme, and with a whole new scheme, maybe taught a whole different way. So sometimes we kind of bump heads in the room because we're probably try to refer the term back to what we how we used it last year, but that may not be the case. It may be used a whole different way this year. So we just got to remember that we're not living in the past. We got to move it forward and keep it going with how it's supposed to be used now.
So how much of that exists here?
Not too much. It was okay. More so we got those out of the way before OTAs. When we have our little group meetings together, we had to work through that. Like I said, with some of the terms was the same, but it was used a different way in this mm-hmm. game. So that's what we used the meetings we had before OTAs. We used those to get reacclimated and get adjusted to them.
Denora Searcy joining us here on the John Murphy Show, and you've been a guy that's been mixed and matched with a lot of people over these first couple of weeks of OTAs. You know, Aaron was out of the team setting coming back from off-season procedure,
right.
And so week one of OTAs, you're in there with Duke. Week two of OTAs, Meeks was in there, I think, a little bit more with you. You know, now week three, Aaron's working his way back in.
Right.
How have you worked? I mean, you're going back to safety to begin with, which we'll get to in a second. But, you know, here we are, week one, you got one guy. Week two, you got another guy, and you're in a new scheme. How are you working through that? Because the communication is a big thing back there.
I would say so, but we pretty much did the same thing we did last OTAs with mixing, matching guys. So okay. I was able to work with both Duke and Meeks last offseason,
okay.
And also doing training camp. So it was not too much of a big deal. We all still out there learning the scheme together and whatnot. So as long as we communicate, be on the same page, it doesn't matter who you're back there with.
And what is the value there? Because I think a lot of people from the outside worry and say, oh, my gosh, new scheme for Meeks and Duke Williams. I mean, it's a new scheme for everybody. But,
right.
I mean, for Duke and Jonathan, I think a lot of people say, oh, man, are they going to be like rookies again out there with their heads spinning around and everything? But they really got a decent handle on things last year, didn't they? I mean, from what you see here, do they seem pretty up to speed?
Oh, absolutely. Those guys are tough. They're smart, competitive guys. Like, everybody had the same amount of time going in to learn the scheme, and they took advantage of it. So going out there, they showed their improvement, and they're out there able to make plays.
Now, let's just dial it back to 2013 for a second here. I mean, you were, for all intents and purposes, in that hybrid linebacker kind of nickel roll thing. Is that gone now?
I hope not. that's extra value to my play.
Right.
I hope it's still in there. That I don't want that to leave. I like that little scheme, that little role for me. But if it is, then I just play safety. I have no problem with that either.
Yeah, because, I mean, we haven't seen a whole lot of the sub-package stuff yet in OTAs. It's been nickel and stuff in there, but
right.
Not a whole. You haven't really got into the depth of what we usually see in training camp. And so I was just curious if you're taking that hat off and just putting the safety hat on and are you? And
I don't want to take it off. Hopefully we'll bring it in a little bit mini camp.
Okay.
We'll bring it in training camp. But if not, then I just made my home completely a safety.
What did you like most about that, playing in that role last year?
It reminded me a lot of high school. You're really just running around and chasing the ball, being able to make plays and be able to help the team out. So that was a lot of fun.
Now, looking at safety, I mean, you've spent a lot of time there, you know, through these practices here in June. Do you feel like you're back at home? How does it feel?
It's pretty much the same. I mean, I never really left. I just expanded my value and expanded what I could do. And then what I could do is just pretty much play anywhere and just use my athletic ability and just be able to make plays wherever they put me. So just going back to safety was just going back to the original home where
right.
I started it.
And you got Donnie, who's, you know, your secondary coach, which allows for even more carryover from the year before. He knows you. You don't. I mean, obviously everybody wants to prove themselves to Coach Schwartz. But, you know, you have an ally, I guess, in Coach Henderson because he knows what you are, what you're capable of. Do you even think about that stuff when you step on the practice field? Like, I got a coach that believes in me. I'm just curious what the player thinks. New coordinator, got to impress him, but I got a position coach that knows what I am and what I can do.
Well, every year you pretty much competing for a job. So even though, like you said, we have an ally back there, he has somebody that's over him. We have somebody that's over us. So we still got to go out there and prove what we're worth. Like I said, you got to go out there with the mind frame of you competing for opportunity, competing for a job.
And now let's talk about that competition because that's what the fans want to know. They want who's going to be lining up because, I mean, I think a lot of people feel Aaron's got a pretty good handle on one of the safety spots.
Right.
And so now it's you and a couple of young guys behind you in Meeks and Duke that, you know, for all intents and purposes are vying for that other spot to line up next to Aaron. So, you know, competition's nothing new for you or anybody really at this level.
Right.
But how do you approach it when you're in a situation like that where it's not even a two-horse race just yet? It's still a three-horse race for the most part.
I just take it one day at a time, like control only what I can control. Just go out there, make sure all my communications are at the point. Make sure I talk things out with the guys out on the field with me so we all can be in the best position possible to make plays.
Now, here's another dynamic of the competition that I think is interesting, and we already talked about it. The fact that all three were here last year. Everybody knows everybody.
Right.
So how does that affect the competition dynamic? Because I got to think if some newcomer comes in, you know, in the off season, you never played with the guy, all of a sudden he's wearing the same uniform, he's playing next to you as your teammate now, but you're also competing for him with a job.
Right.
I'm thinking it might be a little more adversarial. Do you know what I mean? And here, you know Jonathan, you know Duke, you've worked together for over a year. How does the dynamic of the competition change, if at all, and just in terms of getting along with one another?
Well, we all understand that we are out there competing for a spot, but we also always encourage one another to just get better and just continue to go out there and compete. We always want to, especially in our group, the defensive back, we always encourage each other. We may argue, as family members do. We may argue, but at the end of the day, it always comes down to winning. So we always behind each other, supporting one another.
A lot of the corners are talking about one of the newcomers in Corey Graham. Just one of these guys that just seems to have that veteran savvy. And I know sometimes safeties can see more of the field and may be able to have an opportunity at times to appreciate, you know, the game of a teammate because of where they're sitting out there in center field.
Right.
What have you seen from Corey over the first 2+ weeks that, you know, what's your impression of him? I mean, you knew he was coming in with a Super Bowl ring. You knew he'd been in the league 7-8 years.
Right.
But what about his game that maybe you didn't know? Have you kind of learned here through the first couple of weeks seeing him work?
Pretty much, we call him Unc because he's the oldest one in the room. We call him Unc. He don't like it, but I mean, it's growing.
Short
on,
for Uncle, I'm
yeah,
guessing. Yeah,
it's growing on him now, so he cool with it. But like you say, he's a savage veteran. He goes out there. He plays. He competes on every play, every down. Sometimes, man, he'll be on the sideline. We be talking about like what routes we could get or what route they just ran. And it's just he's always out there communicating. That's what you need, another leader. And it don't have to come from the safeties. It can also come from inside because he plays a little nickel and he plays a little corner.
Mm-hmm.
So he giving us his insight from playing nickel and corner, which helps us because if he can see one thing and we see it as well, that's just another opportunity for us to make a play on the ball.
And if he ever has a problem with Unc, you just tell him, hey, it's better than Gramps.
Right. Well, we could call him Gramps because he's still just 28. So, but he's still the oldest of the group because Leotis hasn't turned 28 yet. So we call him Unc. That's it.
All right. Denora Searcy joining us here on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Last one here for you, Denoris. What part of what Coach Schwartz or Coach Henderson wants out of your position specifically in this scheme are you working to perfect the most? You personally, just in that role, to show him you belong out there.
Me personally, I want to continue to grow as a player and keep just perfecting the cover two because I didn't play a lot of cover two drops. I always played cover four or cover three. So that I felt that was always easy to me, play three and cover four. But just got to learn to just get better in my back end coverage of cover two because it's a little different for me. That's it.
All right, Denoris. Listen, thanks very much for the time.
No problem.
All right. We look forward to seeing you out there at training camp, and I'm sure Murph will have you on the show again sometime soon. You're a good interview, man.
All right, cool.
All right, that's Denoris Searcy. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.